Hi, this is Hansa.
And this is Terry.
And Al.
And you're listening to the Omdia Digital Leaders Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Today we have special guests. They're from a company called Magic Orange. Today with us we have David Harding, who is the CEO, and Greg Guy, who's the Chief Product and Technology Officer and co-founder. And I'm going to kick off probably with the first question. It's from left field. Why is it called Magic Orange? David?
Oh, that's an easy question. So Magic Orange is simply a play on the fact that in many organizations, the CFOs generally think that IT is some sort of magic orange that can be just squeezed perennially for, you know, often a random 5 or 10% budget saving, and you can squeeze that year after year after year. And that's what we're here to help solve for.
So a magic orange, not a magic bullet.
Yeah, we provide the magic bullet, but yes.
So just maybe in one sentence, Greg, what does Magic Orange do other than play on words?
Yeah, sure, Terry. So Magic Orange is a mechanism to bring in financial data and operational data and correlate those two to provide a mechanism to communicate the value that technology provides to the business.
Isn't that something that organizations would already have existing and try to understand the value that IT brings? Because that's the whole point of it, isn't it?
Yes, you would expect that. But you know, what we find is that traditional ERP systems aren't able to translate expenditure in a way that the business understand. From a tech perspective, they think about things in terms of firewalls and servers and storage, which is not what the business consumes. The business thinks about things in terms of services, digital services and digital solutions. And you need a mechanism to be able to translate a traditional general ledger into that new view through the services that are actually delivered to a business unit. So it is saying that it provides that insight and that business view.
Okay, Greg, thanks very much for that. I think we've gotten that out of the way. Let's define some terms, though, for this discussion. What is ITFM? What is TBM? And are they the same? And are there critical differences?
Yeah, good question. They are certainly somewhat interchangeable. ITFM, IT Financial Management, TBM, Technology Business Management. Technology Business Management generally refers to a taxonomy. So you pick up on the point that Greg made, the way that an organization will structure its technology expense and translate that into applications and services, products and services that the business understand. ITFM, if you like, is perhaps a more of an umbrella or more generic term referring to financial management of technology expense. But they're certainly rather interchangeable, certainly from a consumer perspective.
As an ex-CIO who spent many, many years fighting traditional financial management systems and going through endless budget processes, I like the idea of taxonomies. And the reason I like the idea of taxonomies is we often want to compare our organizations to see how well we're doing. Is there any opportunity here to do that? Is this going to help me as a CIO, CTO, see how well I'm doing compared to my peers?
Certainly. I'm benchmarking, absolutely. Clearly, if everyone is adopting the same taxonomy, and we can get into a conversation about standards. If everyone is adopting the same taxonomy, then it obviously lends itself quite easily to benchmarking. That's not to say that certainly in our experience, clients will some clients will have an existing taxonomy, some will have nothing. TBM is certainly a good place to start for those who have nothing, but certainly for those who already have something that they may not want to change to something new.
David, you made a point that some organizations might not have a taxonomy. I find that incredulous because given the fact that everybody is now looking at technology being at the core of the business, how can you not have a predefined way or a standardized way of evaluating the value that technology brings to the business? Because I hear this all the time from my customers. It's like cost. Technology is a cost center and we want to take it out. And like you said, squeeze the orange for 10%, you know, year on year and year, and then still expect IT to deliver at the same consistent levels of quality and efficiency throughout, which again, that cost is passed on to the service provider and so on and so forth. And it goes on and on. Although it has spurred a lot of innovation, but it also has created a whole bunch of confusing standards. I wouldn't call it standards because they're not the same. You know, a lot of confusion around what terms to use, how to evaluate, what to evaluate for the first in the first place. So how would you say that ITFM, or let's just call it that for now, how would that help, you know, in bringing, why should there be standardization essentially?
So I think, one of the first things I would say is, I think we need to move on from thinking about IT as a cost center. Your IT is much more than that. I think Greg mentioned just now, it's all about value creation. It's not being a cost center, being a service provider, if you like. That's an outdated way to think about technology. In all organizations now, technology is what's driving value in almost every organization. And so it's much more than that. I think just to pick up on one of the points that Greg made as well quickly, that the way that many organizations are looking at technology is it's very two-dimensional. You know, an ERP system is looking at cost centers and account lines. What we're trying to bring in is that third dimension, if you like, which is marrying that with asset management data, software asset management data, hooking into other solutions and tools that you've got around that will truly help the business understand, you know, it's bringing together that sort of total cost of ownership, if you like, but that much broader picture of what you're actually getting for your money in a different way than just cost centers and accounts.
Excellent. And this harks back to the episode that Terry and I did around digital, you know, solutions, that the fact that IT has to be renamed, you know, it should not be called IT anymore because the term IT implies a cost center. It brings the whole idea of a cost center, but while technology is now essential for a business to succeed, I think that you make a great point over there, David.
David, just following that thread, again coming back to my ex-CIO hat, is this going to give me a better and a more accurate way to cost my services? Because one of the challenges is always working out what the IT service costs to deliver. And I guess I'd say it's relatively easy to say what the cost of a server is. It's relatively easy to say what the cost of a piece of software is. It's really hard to say what the cost of a service is. And I wonder if there's any, whether this helps me with that challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're able to do is build out that value chain of delivering those services. So where we look at the start point of the general ledger and then move those costs into different asset views and then onto the technology view and then into the sort of like a business solution view. And you know, we see those costs moving through that value chain. And also just coming back onto your point about benchmarking, we also find that there's value in benchmarking and against each element of that value chain. So what are you spending on your workforce? What is your internal labor versus your external labor? How does that compare to the industry? And then perhaps looking at the technology costs, for instance, what are you spending in the cloud? And then what does an application cost? So from an accuracy perspective, it's really being able to understand the bill of materials that move through that value chain, the cost of that bill of material. And you mentioned there sort of from an application perspective, organizations often think they understand the cost of an application. But once you bring in a license cost, the labor costs of that and the infrastructure costs of that, it's often three, four times the cost. And we've seen organizations where they're thinking about decommissioning a particular application. They, wanting to build a business case. And once we show them the total cost of ownership of that application, it becomes a slam dunk because it is just so much more. So yeah, no, absolutely. To answer your question, Alex, it's, we're building up that value chain, and then sort of delivering that final, cost through to the business, and then, for them to be able to look at, okay, so, what is the cost of a claim? And to be able to, look at that final key metric and, what it actually drives that cost of a claim.
When IT was a cost center, perhaps it was okay for CIOs to present a block sum and say, this is what technology costs this company, goodbye. But I think now that digital solutions and services, DSS, is so central to the business, I believe IT financial management is a matter of survival almost, because you have to be able to prove your cost, you have to be able to talk the business of language, and you have to be able to prove your value. That was a comment, not a question. I think that was proselytizing. So my next question, I suppose, really is, let's stick with IT financial management, ITFM, because it is an umbrella term. And you talked about, Greg, you talked about the cloud. You talked about, so how seriously do we take, call it the bill of materials on how it all hangs together? I'm going to come to benefits later and value later, but let's deal with the cost side of it. How do we get serious, if you will, about the costs of IT as they're spread throughout the business?
I think that, perhaps to go back to Al's point, actually, I'd pick up on about understanding the cost of a server or storage or database instance. It's all very well to understand those things individually, but it's how do those things actually tie together in terms of, Greg mentioned value chain. It's IT, and you'll appreciate, I'm sure, Al and Terry too, from your background, IT is quite often the biggest consumer of IT. So in that cost of a server, there's labor that goes into that. The server is consuming other stuff. It's building up that full picture to really enable the business to understand what is it we're getting for our money. And I think back to 15 years ago when Greg and I first worked together. Back in those days, you'd be allocating your wide area network spend based on headcount because you didn't really have any better way of doing it. There weren't solutions and tools out there to really help you understand what's really consuming this bandwidth. What's a better way to allocate it? We're clearly, though, we're in a far different place today to enable the business to understand really what it is they're getting for their money and make decisions.
Yeah, and a really interesting reflection I'd make. I'm doing a Terry here and sort of making a comment rather than a question. But in my experience as a CIO fairly recently, most CIOs are buried in data from their cloud providers, okay, in very, very, very fine level of detail. The biggest challenge is sorting it out, but there's no shortage of detail, as we know. All the major cloud vendors will send you voluminous bills down to the cent as to what you've consumed. And then, dare I say it, and I won't mention any companies, you say, well, here's our bill down to the cent of what we've consumed in the cloud. Oh, and can you give us another 10 million for some other stuff? Which is the internal bit. And I think that almost the fact that we've got such great information in the cloud space has highlighted that we don't have such great costing information elsewhere. And so I'm assuming that Magic Orange and others would be integrating those data sources. I mean, obviously bringing in cloud information, cloud data together with on-prem data and cost of staffing and all those kind of inputs?
Absolutely. So I think, also just in terms of cloud data, it's fantastic that much granularity is coming through and that there are so many elements now that can be, controlled, and it's giving organizations the ability to be scalable. But even that in itself presents an issue because, ultimately, you still want to know what the business value is of that cloud infrastructure. And so you still need a mechanism to be able to look at what is driving the cloud expenditure, which business units driving it, what applications driving it, what's been derived, business value that's been derived, and business benefit that's been derived from that application. So, those elements, as much as the cloud providers are providing fantastic expense management capabilities, you still need to be able to augment that information with the business value and you know, who actually is consuming it and, you know, who takes ownership and accountability. Because, you know, that's also been the real paradigm shift. Finance used to sign off on every expense. Now that no longer happens in the cloud. You have engineers and architects turning it on. You have the business turning it on. So, you know, how do you start to manage that? And, you know, contrasting to the on-prem, which is where we have a lot of infrastructure and a lot of the time people are, or organizations are skeptical about the data quality in relation to what is actually running on those on those servers. And you know, who takes ownership for the applications that are running on those servers. So, you know, kind of the two kind of elements that we need to, you know, bring together in this. You know, one is to augment the on-prem information and data so that we can align it to services, the business services and business solutions, and then do the same for the cloud, but interpret like vast data in a meaningful way so that, you know, ultimately when the business looks at you know, what's been provided by technology, that can make sense of it in a business way.
I'm not going to ask Al this question because he's going to go off the deep end. Why don't we just hand all this to our financial boss and let them get on with it?
So, yeah, I'll happily answer that, because actually most of us are qualified accountants, and that's our background. And actually I'll go back 20 years, because when I first, and I'll say, rather fell into technology. The 20 years ago was a time when many organizations, particularly financial services that I worked in at the time, started to appreciate they were spending more money on technology than they were on anything else beyond perhaps the firm's broader payroll. And yet there really wasn't anyone that was particularly financially qualified in technology. All of the financial support came from the financial control division, if you like. And I think there's a very clear division of responsibility where the financial control division, as I see it, if you like, are financial accountants. They have their hands in the ledger. And what you want within the technology division are management accountants. It's a different type of financial skill that sits below or sits beside and supports the CIO and helps provide that, you know, I've always seen these sorts of roles as providing a translation layer, if you like, with the CIO to enable the business to understand what they're paying for. In a different way than just, you know, as I've said before, sort of general ledger accounts and account lines, cost centers and accounts.
Well, that's a great point, David. And this harks back to some of our previous episodes where we have talked about DSS, of course, in the new IT department, and the fact that we need to change the mandate for the IT department. And that will not happen till the time that IT can actually demonstrate that they bring value to the business. They're not just cost. They enable the business, you know, to innovate. They enable the business to move faster and be more successful. And so my question for you guys here is that organizations have had a way of managing their IT financials for years now. You know, they've been doing it, and many of them think that they're getting it right. And you know, there's always this resistance to change, you know, trying to bring something new. But why do you think we have to move to a more standardized approach to ITFM, and why now?
I think that you'd be surprised, actually, to your comment about divisions have been managing their IT expenses for many, many years. I think you'd be surprised how many of them are still doing it with spreadsheets at best and sort of holding those together with sticking plaster. It's not suitable for the enterprise. It's not scalable. And the solutions that are available now, you know, are a much more comprehensive and I think enterprise ready solution to really, you know, bring to life that expense base.
Just following on that point, and sorry to burst your bubble, Hans, but I utterly agree with David. It's all held together with sticking plaster and pieces of tape. But going forward, you've mentioned there that there are now enterprise solutions, of which Magic Orange is one. We started the podcast by talking, you know, a few acronyms in terms of sort of standards and frameworks. And of course, the other big standard for processes that everybody knows and loves or hates is ITIL. Is there any movement in the ITIL space related to ITFM? Is there going to be something that comes out of ITIL that says, here's a best practice way to do it?
I, that's a great question. And And yes, we're big fans of ITIL. ITIL is truly independent. It's been around for many, many years. There are, every couple of years, there's a new iteration of ITIL. And I think what's interesting when you look at it, there is a financial management component of ITIL already and has been there for actually some years. And what I think is particularly interesting about ITIL right now is in ITIL version 2, which was probably 10 or 12 years ago, IT financial management was first introduced at that level. And that was the time when IT was seen as a service provider, if you like. We're now at ITIL version 4 is the most recent iteration, which is a couple of years old now. And actually, if you look into the financial management proposition within ITIL version 4, it's much, much more about IT is there to be a value creator. Your IT division and your business are colleagues. It's not a service provider. They work together. And so we as I say, are big fans of ITIL and see a very strong alignment with ITIL and certainly where ITIL is today, for sure.
So let's get back to standards. Is there an ITFM standard?
Well, I think that, we're definitely seeing a standardization in terms of the categorization of technology expenses. So where we're looking at a standardization of essentially the value chain, where we recognize that, the start point is still the general ledger, and then we move into sort of the asset category and then the technology view and onto the service view. And then, perhaps a further categorization is the investment view. In terms of, and they're in a number of permutations, the way that investments are categorized, whether it's run, change, or grow. Or so, we see a different set of investment categories within our client base. But I think it's sort of in terms of, those four steps through the value chain, that's certainly becoming, more common across, all of our client base.
So coming back to standards, there's a business standard, general accepted accounting practice. Your general ledger fits under that. I'm presuming the IT general ledger, if there is such a thing, looks very different from the business general ledger, and ITFM standards would look different from GAAP.
Yes, I think that's certainly true. I think right now the... what's interesting, if you like, and the general ledger, if you like, the IT ledger sits off balance sheet, if you like, it sits outside the firm's core general ledger. But certainly,
it's a big spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. But then that big spreadsheet will provide postings, if you like, to then post back into the firm's general ledger. But certainly, there is scope for increased standardization for sure. Within that IT ledger is that you refer to, and whether that's TBM, ITIL under an ITFM umbrella, there are certainly options out there.
Which brings me to a point: what's wrong with a spreadsheet for running your IT financial management? What's the problem there, Greg? I think he's smiling. Greg's smiling, people. So
he's been a scream. I think
he wants this.
Yeah, I'll definitely take that. Thanks, Terry. So often, we see that as the start point. As organizations, first, attempt ITFM. And, what soon becomes apparent is that the model becomes really complex really quickly. And before you know it, you've got highly qualified people in the organization spending their time in VLOOKUP HUL within Excel. And then what happens is that, as I sort of...
Oh, don't say VLOOKUP. It's a banned word.
And, what we've seen is that as things change, then organization structure changes, for instance, cost center structures, account structures, it becomes extremely difficult to maintain. And there's a lot of data that starts to get loaded into these Excel spreadsheets. And so it suddenly becomes a multiple tab exercise and a huge file. And then, where it all falls apart and, where the likes of us get called in is that they're going through the final budget throws and it's midnight and they're on the second iteration, they need another change. And by the time the number comes out, nobody trusts it. And they can't put through another change, and it just sort of Grant or Holton, they, you know, nobody has any kind of faith that the number that's been published is actually truthful and is going to be defendable. And then also another key part of the problem is that you have key man dependencies on these massively complex spreadsheets. And so, you know, people lose faith in their role. They've come in as a business person typically, and suddenly they're Excel jockeys. And so we kind of see a fairly high turnaround in situations like that and turnover in situations like that. So, you know, this provides ability for, you know, people to step out of the number crunching and actually address the business value.
And I just add, coming from a government background, there's also risk. Right, as soon as those spreadsheets get bigger and wider and longer and more complicated, the risk just goes through the roof of a fat finger error that turns a million into a billion or vice versa. So
I once worked with an auditor who had an academic paper that looked at the number of errors in spreadsheets. 83% of all spreadsheets have errors in them. Either, as you say, a fat finger adding zeros, or more likely, and I've seen this, costs being... So what happens is the next version of the spreadsheet transposes hard-coded costs across to the newer version of the spreadsheet. So there's all sorts of errors, I think, that creep into spreadsheets. David, you were wanting to say something, yes?
I was going to... Much the same thing, actually. I was going to say, you know, we've all... Excel rules. We all love Excel, but all the points that, you know, Greg, Al, Terry, you've all made are all absolutely valid as to why, you know, you're never going to run a business with $50, $100, $150 million of spend in an Excel spreadsheet. It, you know, it is fundamentally limited.
You're never going to run it efficiently. Yeah. I think is what you meant to say. Yes. You might try and run it, but it's probably not the efficient way to do it.
Yes,
I think that organizations don't appreciate that there is value to be gained by understanding what they are consuming. And so, you know, when people think that things are free, they treat it as a commoditized expense, and there's no accountability for it. Well, we'll just, you know, leave these things to stock up in the corner of the room because nobody's been charging me for it. The minute you add that charge element, it drives accountability. And, you know, we often have heard the term of it's just a left pocket, right pocket, or wooden dollar process. But, you know, we, you know, from experience, strongly counter that. You know, it's when you show people an itemized bill of what they're consuming and you add a value to it, it creates emotion. You know, whether you're using 5 widgets, 10 widgets, you know, it probably doesn't make, you know, any difference. But when you're using 5 million versus 20 million, dollars worth of saying, then, you know, people all can lean in and have a good conversation around that. So, you know, by, you know, providing the granularity and the transparency of what is being consumed, you know, through that value chain, through to businesses, you know, you have a fundamental shift in the cost culture of an organization. And that's what we're trying to drive. And so, you know, when organizations understand that, then they look at the discipline and say, okay, well, you know, how do we get to that point? And that's when you kind of lean into the frameworks in around how you construct the models for that.
Yeah, I think your point there about the point there about the uncosted or the free or the you know, the pushed into the corner systems is a very good one, because of course that's one of the reasons why many, many organizations have systems and solutions that are chronically out of date, because they can never capture the costs that are associated with them being out of date. So perhaps this is a mechanism to address our other big hobby horse of the moment, which is technical debt. I'll just leave that one hanging in the room.
I think you'll have to leave that, because it looks like we can go on for another hour or two, but we're not going to do so. I think I just want to ask a wrap-up question of David. What does Magic Orange want to happen now? I mean, not for Magic Orange, but for the benefit of ITFM, ITIL, and the consumers of technology, and especially CIOs.
I think, and we've talked a little bit in this call about ITIL and alignment with ITIL. I think the best thing that can happen for the for the industry, if you like, and for the technical industry, is a much closer alignment with ITIL and an emergence of standards that are associated with ITIL, which are therefore truly independent. An independent standards board, if you like, could similarly be formed around ITIL. It's a little bit like, I was thinking about this yesterday, you're looking forward to this call, and thinking about, it's a little bit like the difference between, you know, Apple's Lightning connectors and USB, if you like. Yeah, one is sort of owned by a dominant market player and everyone else is aligned around the other. And those two do coexist, absolutely. We have all got devices in front of us and around us today, which we use both of them. We have some devices that might equally plug in a USB cable and an HDMI cable. So we can certainly be that flexible solution in the middle of all of that. But we would like to see a stronger alignment with ITIL.
And to add to that point, it's more like a comment now rather than a question. And bringing more a more standardized approach to managing the finances of IT obviously has a positive impact on the business and the business's ability to loop faster. This is something that we have spoken about before, and it's all about how faster can you get your innovations to market. And a lot of the hindrances or the hurdles often happen at the financial side, where you need to get multiple layers of approval to, you know, run prototypes, or your multiple layers of approval. And you need to be, like I said, you need IT, because IT is seen as a cost center, any kind of additional expense that is required to support that innovation automatically kind of turns IT into red. It's like, you know what, you're spending too much. You know, we can't have you spend too much. But, and the CIO ends up trying to justify the fact that, hey, we are trying to spend it, but it's for supporting the business. And that's a whole that opens up a whole new set of conversations and a can of worms in a way in many organizations. And the ability to maybe it switch to a standardized set of terminology, standardized set of practices and processes and tooling to support sound financial management of IT is a wonderful thing. This has been like wonderful conversation with David and Greg. Thank you so much for being here with us. And thanks to Al, who was our special co-host for this episode. It was a lot of fun, guys. And to our listeners who would like to know more, you know, we talked about some of our previous episodes here. So tune in to our, you know, the previous set of episodes. As you would understand by listening to us, you know, we are trying to follow a chain of thought through our individual podcast episodes and through the whole series. Thank you again, all of you guys, for being here.
Well, thank you.
To our listeners, if you have questions for us, you can reach us through askananalyst@omdia.com. That's askananalyst@omdia.com. You have been listening to the Omdia Digital Leaders Podcast. This is Hansa signing off. Till next time, stay safe.